tuned to Keldabe Talk Radio, the official podcast of the Mandalorian Mercs. We're a costume organization dedicated to charity efforts around the globe, attending events in Mandalorian armor we've built by hand. Here on the show, we'll keep you up to date with the latest fan community news. Visit our website at www.mandalorianmercs.com.
Hello and welcome to this month's edition of Keldabe Talk Radio. I am your host, Crow, and with me on this episode is Thaxos.
Hello.
Frost.
Yo.
And Ark.
Heyo.
All right, fair amount of stuff to talk about this month. I guess we'll just start in with some Mercs news, because we don't have a guest this time. But yeah, welcome back, Frost. Had a bit of a hiatus while he was getting himself an edumacation.
That edumaction, yo.
And yeah, now he's back, and it's great. Now we got people. I like it.
Now he's the smart one. No.
No.
Yeah, your piece is gone now.
Yeah, no, welcome back. Good to have you back. It's good.
I'm actually really glad to be back. I've been missing out on my sitting around talking crap about Star Wars and Star Wars fans.
Right.
Well, we got that covered.
Yep.
We'll have plenty of fun today.
Now we're back. We'll just go into the Mercs news to start off with. We'll do our monthly bit about MercsCon. MercsCon payments are actually coming up due. The initial tickets that you purchased were just a down payment, just a deposit, as it were. So if you have not made arrangements with the quartermaster to get your full ticket funds in, your hotel stay, your food, all that good stuff, all in one nice, easy lump payment, get on that. Not saying we want your money, but we really do. Hotels got to get paid.
Yep, pretty much.
Turns out they don't put us up for free.
I mean, they. Wow. I know, it's weird. They should. I would love them to continue to do that. I mean, that would make my life a lot easier and better and free. Make your arrangements with Corey and or Ken. They're your two best contacts for that sort of thing. They're just a PM away.
And we look forward to seeing you there.
Yes.
Yes.
Those of you that are going.
Yes. More details on that to come in the upcoming months. I did realize something very key for us here at KTR and MercsCon. Provided we can get the requisite number of episodes in, the MercsCon live episode should actually be our centennial episode. Should actually be episode 100. So that's pretty special. Yeah. We're working hard on that. One way or another, we'll make it happen that way.
Should be a good time.
Let's see. The next bit of Mercs news. Looks like Thaxos has some stuff here. We have a help desk system and guides.
Yes. Yeah, so the help desk system basically functions by letting people create tickets. So instead of a thread, it functions as a ticket. That ticket can be assigned to a specific person for them to handle things. So for places like tech, where there's, you know, feedback on the website, or there's a problem with something on the forums or on the website, you know, it can be assigned to the correct person to handle it. Same thing with supply. If you have questions about the store purchases and that kind of stuff, helps them process and work through stuff a little more quickly. So we've got a basic guide up in the rules and guides board, of course. Tells you all about how it works. So if you've used it already, great. If you haven't yet, take a quick look at that. It's a very handy tool that we have on the site, which helps us process things more quickly and efficiently. Additionally, we also now have the Eternal Members page on the front site. It had been asked about for a while. We wanted to make sure we did it correctly and in a proper, you know, in a proper format that would do justice to those that are featured on that page. So those are for our fallen members, those of that have passed on, both official members as well as others who are, you know, friends of the club. And there's info about the page specifically on it in and of itself with regards to, you know, how do you add someone to it and that kind of stuff. So go ahead and take a look at that if you need to. Final thing, two-parter, the education team, which some of you may or may not have heard about, but they're hiring again. So if you want to take a look at that, it's in the announcements section. Goes into detail on what they're looking for. They need some people for translating, they need some people for tutorial stuff, and they need some people for training creation. So take a look at that. All the details are there. If you have any questions, the correct person to get in touch with on that is listed as well. And coinciding with that, going along with that, we have a new board and or a series of boards that'll be showing up soon for people to take a look at. And I believe it's called the Royal War College of Mandalore. Basically, it's going to be where the translated documents, tutorials, and then and guides with respect to a variety of topics that the education team is going to be covering will be hosted. So that should be a nice improvement to the site to help out folks with the forums and how the club runs and all that good stuff.
All right.
That's what I got. I think we got one other thing, I think.
News from a couple weeks ago. It's actually also right up on the front page. Jeremy Bullock, our very own personal Boba Fett, our own official Boba Fett, our honorary Mandalore, has officially decided to retire from the convention circuit. He was actually a really really active with the conventions that he went to. Like, he went to a lot of the big ones. He traveled very far, very regularly. A lot of us have had the pleasure of meeting him at conventions across the globe. And that does take a toll, and he's decided to retire, to hang up his I was gonna say spurs. I mean, he never actually wore spurs. They just put like spur sound effects when he walked. But yeah,
no. But they did give him, and by they I mean TDH and the 501st. I mean, they're not exclusive. Gave him a basically the best screen accurate Boba Fett costume that they could manage.
Mm-hmm. And it was, and it is dang good.
Yeah, it is absolutely gorgeous. And Jeremy has always been super thankful and gracious to everyone ever. I've had the pleasure of meeting him several times, and
he's a prince.
Yeah, he is a top tier human being, and the reason he's stopping is because he's like 80 and change. So I feel like while it's a sad day for everybody, we should all raise a metaphorical glass to Jeremy Bullock and say thank you.
Thanks, Jeremy. But no, honestly, it is sad. Like, I was lucky enough to do quote unquote guard duty at his booth at Celebration 6, I want to say. So just got to hang around with him and his lovely wife, and yeah, they're just awesome, just good people. Hopefully, he may still make an appearance at some of the biggies, you know, Celebrations, San Diego Comic Con, maybe. He might still pop up here and there. But yeah, it is. It is a sad day that we won't see him at all the time anymore, but that's okay. And he is, and no one's really asked, but just, you know, just to make sure that everybody's on the same page, he is still our honorary Mandalore. If for some reason something were to happen to Tom, technically, he would be the next in line to run the club, if he so chose. Which I don't think any of us would really be mad about.
Not really. I feel like he would be very good at delegating. No,
exactly. Yeah. I think that segues quite kind of nicely into our Star Wars news there. We got a few things.
We do. We have a bit, actually. It's kind of nice.
Oh, no. We have news? Tell us. Tell us, Thaxos. What is the news?
What is going on in Star Wars?
Well, back at San Diego Comic Con, it was revealed that the Clone Wars is returning.
Yay!
Thank you, Dave Filoni. That is phenomenal.
And Dave, we trust.
I'm sure most people have already heard about that, but if for some reason you've been living under a rock the last little while, it's coming back.
Yep, and they haven't given us a whole lot of details about what they're going to be covering. But yeah, they'll be wrapping up a fair amount of the of some of the unresolved storylines, yep, including at least one real solid look at Mandalore, and the transition from the Clone Wars to the Galactic Empire. So I'm excited.
And there's a teaser too, so if you haven't seen it, go watch it. It is fantastic.
Yes, yeah, it is a good time. Go watch that. Related to that, because I know that we can just gush about Clone Wars forever. I know we can. But related to that, the new Star Wars show for kids, Star Wars Resistance, is also had its teaser trailer out. That came out, I believe, last week.
Yep.
And everybody's kind of split on it.
Really? I've heard nothing but good things.
I've seen a good mix. I've seen people who, you know, like you'd imagine. Hated it the first 3 seconds in. And I've also seen people, you know, love it. My personal issue is it's is the animation style. There are a fair amount of shows that are going in that sort of cel shady style, which depending on how it goes, like you could have something that ends up like a Berserk or a Ronya, Robber's Daughter, where it looks beautiful in stills, but it just don't move right. Or you could end up with something like they've actually used that sort of animation style in video games for quite some time, like all the cutscenes in the recent Fire Emblem games are that sort of style, and those all look rad. So I think as long as it's animated great, I'm going to love it.
I mean, if Clone Wars is any indication, and Rebels too, it'll be animated very well.
The reason they do cell shading like this in TV shows is overhead.
Yeah,
yeah.
So like the rendering, and that's why. So by many TV shows, what Crow actually meant was anime. He meant that there's a whole lot of anime in the world these days, who are pretty much the forefronts of most digital rendering these days, that are currently utilizing this style of animation. And the reason being, like, you can actually see it on Netflix if you want to, Godzilla something, 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 just Monster World,
yeah,
or City on the Edge of Tomorrow or something, I don't know. City on the Edge of Battle, that's it. I did watch that recently. Anyway, Knights of Cydonia, whatever. There's a lot of precedent for this sort of animation style, and it's kind of splitting for a lot of people. Some like it and some don't, and I can understand both arguments, but ultimately it's cheaper. That's really what it is that they're able to use a smaller development team to make the films and a smaller amount of hardware, because cel-shaded animation, unlike the Clone Wars, so like if you were going to render the Clone Wars, you had to have a rendering rig set up for it, probably a big server with a billion graphics cards in it. This could probably be rendered on your desktop computer in enough time to actually display it on a weekly basis. And so that's why they do this, is to reallocate resources, which is not a bad thing, because that means that they're going to utilize the teams who have been working on this kind of stuff already. Mm-hmm. To do more stuff.
More Star Wars.
Exactly. And if there's anything that I have learned from the Disney model, is that you actually want more stuff, because there's going to be a lot of crap you don't like. That's just how it goes. And so the more stuff you have, the more chances at you getting something that you really, really like. And so I wouldn't necessarily condemn it just yet. Plus, there's not even one episode out, and Clone Wars is garbage until season 3. So
I wouldn't go quite so far as to say garbage, but
it's pretty garbage.
That's your opinion.
The issue is, and this is the same issue that Rebels actually had, every one of these shows that Disney knows is going to have a decent shelf life, they are slow burns. Like, the first bits aren't really going to be all that interesting to people who are over the age of 15. Because, yeah. A, we're not the target audience, guys. I'm sorry. We're just not. Like, we 30-plus-year-old men are really not the people that Lucasfilm is worried about watching their shows on Disney XD.
Hey, we also have Arch here, so there are also 30-plus women.
But, I mean, like, look who's yelling about this on the internet. It's not 15-year-old kids.
Well, I mean, they're yelling about it, but it's the happy kind of yelling.
Yeah, they're just like, yeah, Star Wars and fighters and Poe's in it, and I like it.
And then meanwhile, you have salty dudes on Reddit being like, I hate it because cel shading is lame, and I don't like new things.
Yeah.
Let's remake Dark Forces.
Realistically, though, it's going to be that. It's aimed towards the younger generations to get them started when they're young, and just like in Clone Wars and Rebels, it's going to mature as they grow as well.
Yeah.
And that's a really cool trend that's been happening in media. I first noticed it with Harry Potter. All the kids I knew were reading it growing up, and I grew up with them, and that was a really cool experience to have. So in some ways, I'm kind of jealous of kids nowadays, because I didn't have that opportunity to grow up with a Star Wars franchise.
Well, consider how long Clone Wars
like that, really.
Like, you could go from, like, mm-hmm. being 10 all the way to graduating and watch it every year.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Well, especially with the fact that Rebels is contiguous,
mm-hmm.
So Rebels started at a slightly more adult level than Clone Wars did. I mean, if you guys go back and watch the Clone Wars film, oh my God. First of all, you are a braver person than I.
I saw it in the theaters because I didn't know.
We didn't know what was going on.
We were just like, "Oh, hey, there's this one-off. Star Wars cartoon. Let's go look at it."
And it was horrifying. However, I was like, "Oh no, George, what have you done?" However, we were lucky. They gave it to Dave Filoni.
Yes,
and. The writing team finally found their stride after they kicked Grievous off the show.
Yeah, that guy's, man, you know, Grievous, he's in trouble. I don't know. I was going to make a joke about contracts and stuff, and then it was going to just sound like I was just dumping on the voice actor, and that's not. Anyway.
Atwood's a cool dude. However, generic bad guy, he suffers from massive villain decay. He's like Megatron.
Yeah.
Where it's just like, I'm super powerful and dangerous, and I got beat by an 11-year-old 12 times.
Yeah, just like, the constant, like, I'll get you next time, Gadget. Just fist shaking, like, you know.
Yeah, but at least Dr. Claw killed people. Like, like Dr. Claw actually successfully killed people. Whereas you ran into trouble with Grievous where he was like, I'm going to kill, like, faceless clone number 37. And that's it.
Clones are people too, Eric.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, dude. Jeez.
Yeah, okay. All of you Mandos out there with clone backstories, you're not people.
No.
That's
not me anyway. That's okay.
Yeah, exactly. Came from the wrong time period.
Yeah. This is a bit of a digression, I know. But yeah, Grievous's biggest problem was that
his breathing was
the Tartakovsky Clone Wars existed. And showed us just
so good.
Yeah, just showed us how crazy good and BA Grievous was supposed to be. And then the Clone Wars and Revenge of the Sith were all just like, no, he's just this it's just kind of a joke.
Revenge was
he's
right.
Literally a meme.
Revenge wasn't
General Kenobi.
Revenge was just fine. TV show, yeah, he had the villain decay. That was the main thing.
Yeah.
Revenge, he's basically like Darth Maul. Doesn't get enough screen time or character development. Cool in aesthetics.
He was there to have the General Kenobi fight. And that was it. And we got it, and that part was cool.
And I mean, we got
which has lately boomed into, you know,
the real problem
incompetent
is that they
meme.
Gave him too many lines. Is that if they had Darth Mauled him a little bit more, he would probably have come off a little cooler, whereas instead we got a whole bunch of General Kenobi, I will flay you.
I am kind of excited for Resistance. I am annoyed that it's still going to be Disney XD only, like Rebels, which makes it harder for me to watch, though not impossible.
I mean, it only makes sense, though.
Yeah, but I mean, I liked that Clone Wars ended up on Netflix. I like that it ended up on just CartoonNetwork.com. Like, I liked that delivery method because it was more.
So since I'm not in the know, where did the Rebels TV show end up? Did it end up on Netflix?
Nope, it was Disney XD only. So you could watch it with your cable subscription, which I don't have because I'm cheap. And you could also watch it on, I believe, with the Disney app. I believe you could, they have a subscription service like everybody else does nowadays. So you can watch it direct on your phones and devices that way. Gotcha. But again, I'm cheap.
Yeah, Disney's definitely using the new Star Wars material as a way to push its own streaming service.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's how everything's going, though. Everybody wants to have their own streaming service. That's only going to be more.
But Disney might be able to pull it off. Yeah. They're big enough.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I actually think there's going to be a collapse. But
oh, probably,
All right, let's get into talking about net stuff. So basically,
CBS.
While Disney is moving into this sort of idea of the same thing that CBS is doing, where they're trying to get Star Trek Discovery, and they just got Patrick Stewart back to do
Star Wars.
A new season of TNG.
Where does that fall in the Star Wars chronology? Is that before or after?
Technically in the future.
Yeah. One's in the 24th century. The other one's a long, long time ago.
Where in machete order does TNG fall?
In the machete order? Oh, gosh. Does that even include the new films?
You know, I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
You watch it when you would watch episode one, which is ambiguous because, I don't know.
There's a lot of companies out there that are trying to create their own streaming services, and ultimately they're not going to make money, so they're going to can most of them.
Yep.
Which will result in people coming back to whatever is profitable.
Yeah.
Hulu, when that originally started, like Fox and NBC didn't want to just make their own streaming platform, so they actually did like a very unprecedented merger. And then we got Hulu to compete with Netflix.
Yeah.
But now they're starting to pull back out of that, though.
Well, Hulu also died a horrible death because it had advertising even on the premium stuff. It was like, pay for less advertising.
Yeah, that's the thing. Yeah, we're in on the cheapy tier because it's just like, well, we're getting ads anyway. Yeah,
exactly.
Right. I can name one place that doesn't have any of that, though, and that's Lego. But you know what Lego does have? The new Cloud City Lego set.
Wow. Wow. Faxus, tell us more about
that. That was a beautiful segue. It's okay.
This podcast not sponsored by Lego.
Well, while we're talking about price, though, like, I mean, as a rebuttal, Hulu and Netflix are $8 a month apiece. Betrayal at Cloud City comes in at $349.99.
But the replayability is phenomenal.
Also, what's the price per brick? It's probably a good deal.
It is. Actually, let me see, because I'm on lego.lego.com. yes, I accept. Product details, VIP points. It is 2,812 pieces.
All right, so now we're about to do some real math here, kids. Okay, so you said 2,008 pieces?
2,812.
2,812 pieces. All right. And you said it was $350?
Yeah.
All right.
To round this out a bit.
That means you're getting approximately 8.03 pieces per dollar.
Nice.
That's less than a minifig.
Okay, it's no Cloud Cuckoo Castle, but it's it's a good deal.
So you were paying approximately 12 cents per brick.
Considering how much does a minifig usually go for at the former empire known as Toys R Us, like for $6?
Yeah, I was about to say it's like $6, and it's got what, legs, arms, a head, and then another head?
I'm trying to remember what the rule of thumb for buying Lego was. I think you want to get around 8 cents a brick.
The rule of thumb is yes, buy more.
Well,
absolutely.
When was that rule of thumb established too? Because inflation is a thing.
No. I mean, I think whatever the Reddit kids nowadays are talking about.
Yeah, but
your
first mistake is you went to Reddit.
Yeah, but you know, could be worse. Couldn't be much worse, but it could be worse.
I mean, I think it's a really cool looking set.
It's
it's a really cool looking set.
It's a neat looking set, and if you happen to be wealthy and really want your kids, if you want to purchase your kids' affection, go to store.lego.com and buy this thing that's totally not sponsoring us.
It definitely isn't sponsoring.
It's no Lego Death Star, I will say, but it does come with a Slave One, just sort of as a bonus, and then 12 minifigs, including Billy D.
Is it like a tiny Slave One, or is it like the full size?
I'd say like a medium size. Like, it's a Slave One that you can put the little carbonite Han in the ramp, and then you can fit Boba in the cockpit. So it's about that size.
So it is smaller than the traditional like high definition, high
it's
res.
Not the scale.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's not
to minifig scale.
It's not the 500 piece Slave One that I used to have.
It's also not a complete Cloud City. It is a like a multi-room setup to represent all of
the stuff. Actually,
it comes with like no less than 3 Hans now that I'm looking at this thing.
What?
Like it comes
on
like it like look
at
this.
It
comes with Han in his little blue jacket, the one that they show up in. It has Han jacketless about to get dipped in the carbonite. The ice.
I guess it's also Torture
Chamber. Yeah, also Torture Chamber, Han. And it comes with...
Oh, this is dark. Maybe don't buy this for your kids.
So, like, that's three Hans.
That's Han for
you. Yeah, maybe... I'm going to go with Arch on this one. Maybe don't buy this one for your kids. Maybe go for a happier one.
It's got Lando, right?
Cannibalizing people or something.
It's got Lando, too.
It does, yep. Yeah. It has a little Billy D.
We could take Lando's head, put it on Han Solo's body, so we have Lando wearing Han's clothes.
It's true. Yeah.
Lando?
Yeah.
That's a hard mini. You could transplant it to the Millennium Falcon set, though.
Yep.
To be fair, I think the current Millennium Falcon set in print is actually the one from Force Awakens, so it's got the different
turret. It's got the different turret. It's got the square dish. It's got...
I thought it came with both dishes. Did it have both turrets, or did it only have...
It's Lego. It comes with both dishes, whether you want it to or not.
Yeah.
Fair.
Yep.
Lego, a time-honored tradition. For your family.
And your wallet.
Totally not sponsoring this episode.
I mean, I'm not going to lie and say that I don't want it, but...
Sponsorship or the set?
Both.
I mean, if we can get Lego to sponsor this, I am absolutely willing to accept cash to sit here and, mouth off.
Oh, here we go. Actually, there are measurements on the site here. So, Slave 1, you were asking.
Oh, wow.
Because this is Lego, and they know they're not selling this to kids.
not for $350. Nope.
Slave 1 measures over 4 inches high, so we're saying it's in landing position on its back, on its engines. 7 inches long and about 7 inches wide, fin to fin. Cloud City measures itself over 6 inches high and about 22 inches square.
So for everyone else in the world, Slave 1 measures 11 centimeters high, 19 centimeters long, and 18 centimeters wide.
People
and
the
Cloud
Star
City
Wars
is 56 centimeters square. What is cool, though, is you get the IG-88 in there.
Yep, he's in there, too.
Well, not IG-88 himself, but a deactivated IG class droid.
Yeah, over in the little trash room.
The little droid factory thing. Yeah.
In the trash.
But it's 18 minifigures in total, though. That's a lot of minifigures.
Any gonks?
Gonks?
I'm not seeing any gonks. R2,
but you
Chewie.
You got no Han deal. Trio, Princess Leia, Luke Skywalker, Chewbacca, C-3PO, Lando, okay. Lobot, 2 Cloud City Guards, 2 Cloud
Another
Car Pilots. Leia and Han again, Darth Vader, Boba Fett, 2 Stormtroopers, an Ugnaught, R2-D2, and an IG-88 droid. Oh, they do call it IG-88 this time. Yeah. On their minifig list, so. There we go. 18 minifigures, though.
Yeah, but no gonks. What are you gonna do? How are you gonna power all
that?
Did we
say minifigures ran, approximately?
Six bucks, depending on the set. So, that's...
Well, that's a third of the price right there, those 18 minifigures.
Yep. It usually is. When you look at the big Lego sets, I think they made the Kylo Ren command shuttle, that big winged monstrosity. That came with, 7 minifigs, including, Phasma and Kylo Ren. So that one, half the price went to just those having those 7 minifigs in there.
Yeah. Well, you gotta put Phasma in something.
Yeah.
All that hype and
that
much screen time.
All that falling into a hole.
Yeah. I'm still...
They did put her somewhere. They put her in a trash compactor.
I'm still... I'm still on the I like the Last Jedi bandwagon because I did. I am a little disappointed with the with just putting an end on Phasma.
I don't think Phasma's dead.
She might not be.
I would like the idea of her not being dead. I'm behind that.
I'm almost certain that Phasma is not dead because
everybody was convinced Boba Fett was dead.
Yeah,
look what happened.
Yeah.
Well, it's a foil situation. So Phasma has been introduced intentionally as the foil to Finn. Mm-hmm. Because the whole thing with Finn using a lightsaber to go and fight Kylo was literally just marketing misdirection.
Yeah, it was just a red herring. Yeah.
Yeah. And so
it was great.
He doesn't have a foil character, whereas like we have Kylo and Rey, we have Poe and Hux, and we have, which is half the point of this movie, is just to establish who is whose foil. And then you have Finn and
Phasma. Yeah.
And that's the point. So as long as Finn is running around being like, hey, I am a relevant character in this storyline, please care about me and what goes on, Phasma will also be around to give them a character to push against. Just like Hux is going to be around barking nonsensical orders and bad strategy at people. Come on, Hux. Do better. You're better than this, or maybe you're not.
Nah.
Well, we'll see you soon enough.
You might not be.
But like that's what got me. Like, I read the Phasma book and I read the Phasma comic.
Oh, I just got the book to read.
It's a very good book, and it does a great job of setting up Phasma and how rad she is. But then it's just like, and then Last Jedi happens, and it's just like, oh, and then she just gets sucker punched into a pit on an exploding ship.
To be sure, that was also how Tales of the Bounty Hunter went, where it was like, look at how really awesome Jaster Mareel is and all this other nonsense. And then, oh, and BT Dubs, he gets punched in the back by a dude with a force pike and dies.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
Star Wars likes to play with our hearts.
But there is also the ability for them to create other stories somewhere along that timeline that don't interfere with the movie.
It's true.
Like, that's one of the nice things about Star Wars.
Mm-hmm.
There are some places where it's hard to squeeze in, though. Like, it's fully possible.
Yeah, well, fair enough. And also the fact that Star Wars now ostensibly has a consistent canon. Ostensibly.
It's already muddied up again.
Yeah, I mean, well, I'm referring to the fact that, like, ostensibly, according to the executives at Disney, they want everything, including the games made by other companies, i.e. Battlefront and...
Battlefront 2 too.
Yeah, Battlefront 2-2, and then what was that one that they did that was like the RPG for Android? I remember playing that for a while.
Never played that.
It wasn't Uprising or something. I remember it was like the first new Star Wars media released in the new universe. The first post Return of the Jedi thing.
I don't remember, no.
Yeah, but they had something like that was out for a while, and then... Yeah, everything is ostensibly canon, unless it is declaratively not. Whatever that other one is, the battle game. The battle RPG game fiction that they came out with a couple of years ago that I played a ridiculous amount of and spent probably $200.
Heroes, yeah. I still play it, but I haven't spent a dime on it.
Yeah. I spent probably $200 on that game.
Not hard to do.
Ouch.
That's just like 4 upgrade packs.
Yep. Though, to be fair, that game is technically canon because you are technically some random dude in a cantina playing Holo Chess.
Yep.
So.
Yep. Technically, that gave us actually, they just released a bunch of the KOTOR characters like Bastila and Jolie Bindo. They're back in now. So.
Yeah, they had Darth Nihilus and stuff and HK in there for a while. So, though it is technically canon in the sense that you are some goon playing some Holo Chess game that happens to involve famous figures.
Yeah, what they do or why they're famous doesn't really ever come in.
Yeah, Bastila Shan or, you know, whoever in on your team does not actually mean that they are relevant human beings. Or.
I mean, yeah, speaking of media that includes way too much Han Solo, whenever Crow's playing that game, I get all confused because I'm just like, why are there 5 Han? Why is this whole team Han?
You can now have a team that is all Hans, like old Han, young Han, smuggler Han, stormtrooper Han, Captain Han.
I mean, that's pretty great.
Yeah, really. No, it's pretty.
That's excellent.
And it's
I was about to say, and yet they refuse to put in a new Luke Skywalker.
Yeah, exactly.
They're like, no, it'd be too many Lukes. The fact that we already have game code in for Luke with a lightsaber means that we have to sit here and put in frickin' the only Luke we can have is Luke with a sand people gun.
They did finally bring in Commander Luke.
Okay.
Yep, you can get him now if you have a bunch of other characters 7-starred and fully upgraded.
Oh, okay. So basically you have to pay them hundreds of dollars.
Or spend many hundreds of hours. Yeah. No, it's the EA model all over again, but on your phone.
Yeah. To be fair, that is why I spent $200 on it, is I may or may not have been playing that at work when I was supposed to be working.
Do you want us to edit that part out?
No. I don't work there anymore.
Ah, well then.
Fair game. And still no news on which company is going to be making Star Wars games instead of or in addition to EA. That's still up in the air as far as I know.
I had heard a rumor that Zynga might be making one.
Zynga?
Yeah, the people that made Farmville. And... Right, but there's always that question of who's going to be the first that gets to make a Star Wars game outside of EA.
Yeah.
Well, to be fair, they probably are actually going to do one-off game licenses like they used to do way back in the day. Like when
Not
Star Wars made, where they did like Force Commander and I think Sierra or somebody made that. Like, and anytime they weren't able to do it in-house at Lucasfilm by stealing somebody else's engine, stares at LucasArts aggressively for Dark Forces. For the record, if you guys aren't aware of this, Dark Forces is literally stolen from Doom. Like, the entire game engine is like 80% copy.
Oh, yeah. No, the entire Jedi Academy, Jedi Knight series, that's the Quake 3 engine.
except that it wasn't the Quake 3 engine. They paid no license to
it. Oh, no. No, they got it from Raven, who had gotten it from id, who, it's a long, convoluted chain of crap.
Yeah, but that's one of the reasons why I really hope that it gets a hold of the license. One, because just for those of you who played Doom 2016, imagine that, but stormtroopers. That would be amazing.
Mm-hmm. Pretty cool.
Just imagine tearing stormtroopers in half with your bare hands.
Mm-hmm.
Second of all, though, I don't think Disney would fly for that. Second of all,
maybe.
I mean, if you play it as a Wookiee.
Fair. Pull the arms off and start beating them with them. Man, Solo was a good movie. I don't care what anybody says.
Solo was good.
Gundark ear-ripping simulator.
Well, it's not even like Dejurak simulator. It's like Dejurak aftermath simulator.
Yeah, it's just bits, jibs everywhere.
Imagine that, though. You know, all right, Lucasfilm, for those of you who aren't listening, because Lucasfilm probably doesn't listen to our podcast.
Yeah, probably not.
But this is your idea for the next gen game for Star Wars. Have it be like Surgeon Simulator, except that it's VR, and you are a Wookiee, and you are tearing the arms off somebody who beat you at Dejurak.
Oh, see, I thought we were going to go the other route where you play as Dr. Evazan, who's only got one arm.
No.
And so it's very much Surgeon Simulator.
No, Ponda Baba's the one who's only got one arm. Dr. Evazan has two. And plus, if you read the old, totally not canon books, he grafted somebody else's arm onto Ponda Baba afterwards.
Well, then there you go. There's your make Dr. Evazan graft another arm.
Dr. Evazan Simulator 2018.
Beautiful. Beautiful. This will not at all become Goat Simulator.
What, highly successful and lucrative?
Oh, gosh. Ewok Simulator?
Memes. Ewok Simulator, there you go. Yep.
Go at Simulator. Oh, Goto Simulator, oh no.
I think we've run this in the ground.
I don't think so.
Actually, you know, the funny thing is, like, Goto Simulator, that could actually be cool, because now I'm sitting here thinking about what Goto Simulator would be like, and you would run a space.
Like, Goto, the droid from KOTOR 2.
Yeah, like, you would literally be, like, running a space station and trying to make money and doing crimes.
It would just be SimCity.
Yeah, well, no, it's not even SimCity, though. Like, it's a space station, and there's crime. That you were doing.
Sim
Station. Yeah, okay, so Sim Ant, whatever. I mean, when has this been done?
Okay, it is not dissimilar from Sim Ant, but with crime and droids. Randomly, you have Jedi wandering in who screw everything up.
Sounds about right.
I miss Sim Ant.
Did they ever remake it?
No, just the once.
Okay. So good.
Unsung heroes of a bygone.
Man, that was 91.
I
remember playing that game, and like, my life goal was to make the people move out of the house.
Like, that was how you won Sim Amp, was like you took over all of the house.
That game came out almost 30 years
ago. Oh, my God.
27 years ago, that game
sure did.
All right. So, everybody, I want you to sit and think a minute.
Nope.
About how ridiculously old we all are and how we are all dying. Listeners, I want you to think about how old you are and how you are now dying. And young listeners, this will be you in 10 years because I was once young too. Like, go watch that Homer Simpson clip where he complains, where it's actually Bart Simpson, who now looks like Homer Simpson, complaining about he used to be with it and hip, and suddenly both of those things changed. That is us, and it will be you too.
And then one of those days, you'll be sitting on a podcast, and people will start talking about some video game that you haven't played in forever, and you'll realize it was the same year as you were born.
But it'll be okay, because you'll have the Lego sponsorship.
And it'll still somehow be about ants.
They're space ants.
Yes, and it'll be having the Lego sponsorship is the important part. Store.lego.com.
Shop.lego.com. Come on, Eric. This is why we can't have sponsorships. I had one chance.
I must commit seppuku. Hold on, let me grab like.
This is why we can't have nice things.
Anyways, so the next thing we've got on our wonderful Star Wars news is Episode 9 is going to be wrapping filming February 2019.
Yeah. Woohoo!
Hell yeah!
So it's starting. Like now. That's getting there. That's now. Yeah.
I still.
Now I don't know if. By the time Celebration Chicago rolls around, they might have something.
I'm pretty sure they will,
because Celebration's been pretty meticulously orchestrated to coincide with
everything.
The Star Wars happenings. So yeah. It's kind of.
I mean, February to April's not exactly a long.
It's plenty of time for them to slap together some dailies into something for us nerds.
Oh, yeah.
Sneak peek of some sort, sure.
And by that he means, instead of dailies, they're going to show us 70% unused footage, not unlike the Force Awakens trailers.
Yes.
Absolutely.
And not unlike the Marvel trailers, actually, too. Like, Disney has been super bad about that recently, where they're like, look at this trailer for this film, and it is, like, 50 to 70% stuff that does not appear in the film.
What they're doing there is they're trying to make people like Thaxos that crawl under a rock every time they hear the word trailer.
Yep. Because it used to be nothing but spoilers for the film, and it's like, oh, I watched the trailer. Oh, yeah, that was basically the movie, but shortened down to 30 seconds.
Yeah, I like this idea that like the things that you see in the trailer might not even like appear in the movie. Like, as a concept, yeah. They're not untrue to the story usually, but yeah, it's footage that you don't see, which is kind of neat.
I understand it was jarring for people, like for Rogue One, for example. You know, now that it's been out for quite some time, like Jyn Erso facing off against the TIE fighter that rises up on that scaffolding area, and people were watching the movie and going, "Wait, what? It didn't happen." Or the stormtroopers coming out of the ocean. Or
Rogue One's trailers were interesting because, like, Jyn Erso was like, from what we understand at least, she very well have been a very different character at that point in the movie's production when that.
Well, they were also supposed to survive. Like, there were supposed to be, like, the... Yeah.
These are things I don't know.
Yeah, no, I don't. That was my understanding, was that there was the original plot for the original movie was going to have them escaping on a shuttle or whatever, and Bodhi doesn't get killed.
I read that the end of it was a hard sell.
I'd heard the reshoot was that they weren't running along the beach and running with the drive and having some frantic escape where... But I wasn't certain as who actually survived or didn't survive.
Well, I think this was way, way back. Like this was.
I think this was before they even started shooting.
Yeah, and they decided no, she needs to be his daughter, which was fine. Like,
spoiler alert. Jeez.
God.
Gosh, I know it's just a movie that's been out for 5 years.
God. No, my Did honestly,
you guys know that
like,
Skywalker
you've almost
dead?
Got me. I almost thought it had been that long. It feels awfully
long. It's been at least three.
My favorite like spoiler thing like in recent history though is definitely from The Hobbit. It was an interview with Martin Freeman, and
and
he was talking with someone about like the next movie. I think it was going to be about the third installment, and he's like, "Well, they kill Smaug," and at this point, the interviewer gasps off screen, and he's like. The book came out in the 50s. It's been out for 60 years.
No. It wasn't that. He said that the book came out in the 30s, because it did.
Yeah. And it's just like,
and it was one of those.
You've had time.
No, it's not a spoiler if it is a basic tenet of role-playing games, which they themselves have been around for 50 years. Like,
yeah,
Gary Gygax released the first edition of Dungeons & Dragons in 1973. Like,
because he,
come on,
because
guys.
He liked Lord of the Rings.
Literally because he liked Lord of the Rings and he was upset that chainmail didn't let you tell stories.
Yeah. Yep. And here we are now.
Here we are. One KOTOR later.
Yep.
And also that other KOTOR.
Two KOTORs later.
Yeah.
Three parsecs later.
12 parsecs later. Oh. You know, that was another good thing about the Han Solo film.
Yeah.
Is them showing off the whole parsec thing and then completely not doing the thing that everybody has used it as the excuse for forever, mm-hmm. where they're like,
I mean, they basically did.
Well, not quite though, because everybody's like, oh no, but they're like folding space. And so doing it at a measure of distance is yada, yada. And then literally they're just like, nah, they literally took a shortcut and nearly ran into a black hole and got eaten by Space Cthulhu.
Like, other than the Space Cthulhu edition, though, the explanation I had always heard was just that it wasn't a matter of folding space or anything magic. It was just there's a bunch of black holes and you got to cut it real close. And the closer you cut it and the more strain you put on your ship, the faster you can be going more direct, but also more dangerous with the gravity wells.
Yeah, I thought that the old excuse was like, oh, well, you can't go less than 12 parsecs because you physically need to go further. Like it was an impossibility of distance sort of thing, which made his like when you're looking at it makes his boast even dumber.
Yeah. My understanding had always been like there was an established route through that dangerous section with a bunch of gravity anomalies and black holes and what have you.
Yep.
And so it was like, oh, you can do it in like 20. Here's the safe way. And then there was like a kind of risky. You're cutting it kind of close to some anomalies. Here's 15. And then it was like, oh yeah. And then somebody had pushed it down to like 13 by flying through some really dangerous section. That was like, you're crazy. Why would you do that? And then Han went, yeah, well, let's just try this.
Cause I'm Han
Solo. Let's just try going,
yeah.
Doing this instead. And then he just managed just to, by the skin of his teeth, make it through something that was otherwise impossible to do. As he often does, mm-hmm. like, pulling out of hyperspace after the planetary shield.
Yep. And nobody goes into the fact that Han would have aged like 300 years relative to the rest of the universe.
Maybe he just ages really good.
That's some other level of physics that we're not even going
to. Yeah, like this is still Star Wars.
that's fair, where you have laser guns that fire blasts you can see.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, and they travel way slower than the speed of light. Yeah.
But
good old Star Wars.
Good old Star Wars.
Man,
wouldn't
that movie
have
really
any other
was
way.
Good. I'm sad that people got so butt-mad about it.
See, that one, like, I heard less complaints about Solo than I did Last Jedi. Last Jedi was just dumb, and we've been over how wrong all of you people are. But like, Star Wars Solo was exactly what we all expected it to be. Like, it's all the things that we expected to happen happened. People.
Yeah. For most people, there were some people that
part of it was the advertising thing too, like the fact that they didn't advertise it for like until 2 weeks before the film.
Well, yeah, that was a mistake.
What
yeah,
what it was a combination of several things. It was for some reason letting the media know that they'd gone up and switched everything out, which director wise was kind of inevitable. Yeah. But then on top of that, the double down by saying, oh yeah, we're going to go and give him some acting lessons. Like it doesn't show
confidence
yeah. in the person. They didn't have to announce yeah. that. Which I think, in hindsight, maybe it looked like the best decision at the time. Obviously, I'm not a PR person for anything nearly that large or anything at all, in fact. But, it was that, you know, they kind of just didn't put the confidence where they should have with the actor, which, you know, made people doubt it more than just the fact that they were replacing the director. And then on top of that, they decided, hey, let's put it in. I get the anniversary makes sense. You know, oh, it's May. The original Star Wars.
Let's put it against Infinity War.
Star Wars. Yeah, you got Infinity War. You got Deadpool 2. And you had, what do you Yankees call that holiday weekend?
4th of July?
No.
It did not come out on the 4th of July.
I always get those. It's not
Labor Day. It's the other end of the summer.
Memorial Day?
Yes.
Yeah.
They had it on that weekend as well, which, from what I understand, is a holiday where most of you guys
go to the movies,
often visit family.
No,
we go to conventions actually.
Yeah, and what happens is your people, the Canadians, come to where I for each holiday.
Yeah. We're actually putting extra hours in.
Yeah, it's actually for tourist states like mine, it's actually a horrible weekend to be alive.
So between all those things, though, I mean, it had a lot going against it, really, in terms of getting a good viewing. But it was a really fun movie.
I loved it. Like, I thought it was.
I really, really, really liked the soundtrack that was in the trailer, but not actually in the movie. Or at least I believe it was in the trailer and not the movie.
Michael Giacchino was on that again, wasn't he?
Yes. Yeah, he's been taking over all of the anthology movies.
Yeah.
And now that John Williams has said nine's it, like he's done with Star Wars, he might fully take over the reins. So who knows?
I would expect that. Like, I would expect that they've kind of been bringing him up to that role, I think. Yeah.
Well, it's got to be done at some point. You got to hand off that torch.
Which I think is appropriate. His work on Rogue One was pretty amazing. Yeah. That being said, I don't remember the soundtrack of
Solo.
The Solo film was much.
Rogue One.
Yeah
not Solo. Didn't stir me the way that Rogue One did. Rogue One soundtrack was fantastic.
I don't know that, but the Star Wars Solo, A Star Wars Story teaser trailer music.
Yeah, and I don't remember that at all either, but that probably was just because it was forever ago.
When it comes in right at the start, and it shows off him having stolen that, like racing that land speeder along and everything, very much the baseline going. I don't know. It, to me, it stood out a lot, and I really
I just do not recall.
I believe that you enjoyed it.
I believe you because you're an honest man.
I was about to say at this point I've known Thaxos for a decade. I want you to
only
lament that fact there for a minute, Thaxos. You've known me for like a third of your life.
Oh no, we're gonna get into that part where we're old again. Yeah. I don't want to.
Yep.
Noted.
More than a third.
Go there.
That's the crazy part. Coincidentally, the Mercs more than a third of my life. Burr, burr, burr. I think.
Or either maybe it's close enough.
We're old. Old. With Diane, we're as old as Harrison Ford was when he made the first movie, guys.
Oh, no.
Wait, Harrison Ford?
All by himself.
He did. All by himself.
All by himself. Literally just out of like planks of wood and some carpenter nails.
Yeah. Yeah, he's all the actors. Little known fact, they didn't bring Mark Hamill in until the second movie.
Yeah.
Or Carrie Fisher for that.
You should have seen him squeezing into the white dress with no bra on. Because they don't wear bras in space.
They don't wear bras in space.
Harrison Ford refused to wear one.
That is confirmed fact.
He was a method actor. Yep. He was really into that.
Yeah, especially the buns. And like, I mean, think about all the weight he lost to beat Grand Moff Tarkin.
He pulled it off, man.
I was thinking more of the weight he lost to be IG-88.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that was incredibly...
And Bosk.
That's...
Wow. All right. Anyway.
That's only aside.
That's all. That's all superfluous red herring crap right there.
That was bad.
Normally
we don't get to this random gibberish until after we've run out.
Yeah, no, we have, like, two things left to talk about. I guess we'll just do the... We'll do the cooler one first. And by cooler, I do mean Kelly Marie Tran.
Woo!
Very
She's
cool.
She's the coolest.
She recently, in a very positive, really well-written like essay to the internet, she put out it was running on New York Times, everybody's got it now, but it was a really awesome essay about how positive she's feeling as a person now. Despite everything that everyone has said on the internet about her in the past 2 years.
Basically because they're garbage.
They
people.
Are. And she has fortunately risen above that and she's not specifically like, you know, trashing anybody or anything like that. Like I said, it's a very well written piece. I really can't summarize it super well because I don't think it really does it justice. So Just if you Google Kelly Marie Tran,
it's required.
If you Google
reading.
Kelly Marie Tran, it'll be the first like 30 results. So definitely go ahead and give yourself a proper service and read this. It's very good. It's very awesome. And again, to do a quick reiterate of our subjects for the last couple episodes, bullies are dumb. Don't be a bully. Bullies are ruining Star Wars. So.
But yeah, give Kelly Marie Tran's a article there, a read. It's a really important piece. It talks a lot about just what she went through in general. And as you read it, think about how you treat the other people in your lives as well. You know, not just about how you act in the physical presence of people, but online and in all other venues. Because it matters. It's very important. She shares some key insights about growing up within certain demographics and things like that.
Ultimately, it comes down to this. Don't be the people that ruin Star Wars. And
don't be the people that ruin other people's lives.
Like if you're gonna sit there and flame somebody who got a breakthrough acting job, no offense to Kelly Marie Tran, but I have no idea what she did before Star Wars. Because, you know, on a Star Wars podcast, that totally means anything.
Well, that's how a lot of
people are. Yeah, I mean, very, very few of them. Like, other things. Very few of them are known beforehand. Like, who knew who Mark Hamill was before A&H, or who Daisy Ridley was before The Force Awakens?
I didn't know who John Boyega was.
That's because Attack the Block is fantastic.
Oh, it's so good.
Go watch Attack the Block if you haven't, by the way. It's got Nick Frost and it's awesome.
Yes.
But either way, it's usually a bunch of no-name actors. Really, these are people who are trying to make a living, and no-names don't make any money. Because, like, we think that all actors in the world are like Tom Cruise, you know, where it's like, we're going to pay you $40 million to come and smile. Or in the case of Arnold Schwarzenegger, $20 million to make some puns. Like,
it is nice to see though that Star Wars does grab a lot of lesser known or unknown actors.
Yeah, that's
not always just they go back to the same.
And that was the thing that I was saying is that they bring in these unnamed actors, one, because the special effects are so expensive that those are the only people they can really afford, and two, because it allows these sorts of people to make breakthroughs into the rest of Hollywood. Like, we would not have had the truly magnificent dearth of Harrison Ford, or not dearth, swath of Harrison Ford movies, Air Force One, without Star Wars. We just wouldn't have had it.
We wouldn't have the holidays.
You wrecked it.
Love it.
Just snow.
But
you got that very good interview.
Or the fugitives.
Yes, the fugitives.
So anyway, the point is that we would not have had a lot of these people making their breakthrough roles, or Guyver.
I don't know, Indiana Jones.
Guyver with Mark Hamill. Or for the record, it wouldn't have made Mark Hamill basically quit normal acting and go off and become the Joker from Batman the Animated Series, or everyone in Metalocalypse. So anyway, the point is that this is an important medium for people to break through into neat acting roles that are not already famous. And you sit there and you want to go grab Kelly Marie Tran, made under $100,000 on the Star Wars film that she did, probably. All told, after everything else happened. You want to then go sit there and flame her for the rest of her life because you in particular did not like the fact that her character may not have been written in the way you liked. Come on, kids.
Mm-hmm.
Her voice is very important. She's given us an opportunity to hear her out. So if you haven't read the essay,
just do it.
Give it a read.
Yeah, do that. And don't be that fan. Remember that these are people too. Even if you think they are far up above and in the stars or whatever, and they aren't. They really are human beings, and if you get the chance to meet any of them, you may come to realize that. So be nice.
Well, that's everything that I'm hearing about the current batch of Star Wars like actors, you know, Daisy Ridley, John Boyega, Kelly Marie Tran, even Oscar Isaac, who was actually one of the few who sort of had a career before Star Wars. They're all just apparently really nice, genuine people. So why would you be a jerk?
Yeah, doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
If you're going to crap on somebody, go find somebody who's actually morally reprehensible to crap on. Like, don't go after people just because they made a movie you didn't like.
Yeah. Don't go after the producers. Don't go after the directors. Don't.
Exactly. Just don't.
Just don't.
Well, with that, everybody have a good
luck, everybody.
Bye. Yeah,
That is it. That is honestly all we have.
The end.
End.
Yep.
Finito. That is
and,
it.
And one last thing I do have to say for my triumphant return to Caldave Talk Radio, where I derail everything, is everyone be nice to other Star Wars fans. Ultimately, there's a finite number of us, and it is a growing number. But realize that you do have some custodianship here to do. You're not there as a gatekeeper. You're there to pass this the fandom on to the next person. So be good.
And yeah, bye. With that, thank you for listening. Listen to us again next month. We will definitely talk more about MercsCon, about Legos, also Legos. But thank you for listening.
Shop.lego.com.
On behalf of my shop.lego.com. You got it!
Woo!
You got it, guys!
Store.lego.com.
But Nope. Anyway, but on behalf of myself, Thaxos, Ark, and the recently returned Frost, thank you for listening, and have a good one.
Bye.
Bye.
Peace.
Bye.
All right.
This has been a production of the Mandalorian Mercs Costuming Club. To learn more about the topics discussed on this episode, please visit us at www.mandalorianmercs.org. The Mandalorian Mercs is a worldwide Star Wars costuming organization comprised of and operated by Star Wars fans. Star Wars, its characters, costumes, and all associated media are intellectual property of Lucasfilm and Disney. We hope you enjoyed the show and welcome your feedback. Visit our Facebook page or email us at podcast@mandalorianmercs.com.